This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, with your host, John Rush.
All right, it is Thursday. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thank you all, by the way, for tuning in as you do each and every day, but especially on Thursdays for this first hour. Dr. Kelly Victory with us today, as well as Steve House. Dr. Kelly, how are you today?
I am always good to be with you, John.
All right, we appreciate it very much as well. Steve House, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, John. Thanks.
All right, Dr. Kelly, let's start with, I just saw this come across my computer screen a few minutes ago before we came on air, and I'm not shocked at this, but the WHO is very close to rating monkeypox as a, you know, worldwide, you know, virus. In other words, raising the awareness, I guess you could say, of that, which of course we know would do all sorts of other things if they end up doing that. First of all, we haven't talked a ton about monkeypox in the last few weeks. Give us your insight on that, and then your thoughts on the WHO.
First of all, monkeypox, this is craven fear-mongering is what it is. Monkeypox has been around for decades. It was identified in human beings in 1986 after having jumped from animal species, not monkeys, incidentally, so it's a misnomer. But the idea that the WHO or the CDC or anybody is raising alarm bells at this point regarding monkeypox, I think, is insanity. Yes, we've seen an increase in cases. We see outbreaks all the time in places like sub-Saharan Africa. This is a virus that spreads not like COVID. It is not a respiratory virus. It spreads only by direct contact, individual to individual, and is largely, with rare exceptions at this point, a disease that has been spread between males having sex with other males. I'm not saying that it couldn't change the mode of transmission, but it is not a respiratory virus. It's nothing that would lead us to believe, for example, that going back to mask mandates or social distancing or any of that other silliness would be indicated in any way. So I see this truly as an issue of fear-mongering. The average individual has nothing to worry about from monkeypox.
Steve, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, they want us to be in fear of something. I mean, yep. This is really thin, as Kelly said, but I think it comes down to, the president was talking about asking for a bunch more money for the next pandemic. I'm like, what is he talking about? I think it's just they're operating on this basis that yep. when you can suspend the rules
yep.
because you've got people afraid, it works better for them. And I think
that's
the way they operate.
I agree, by the way. And it almost, well, not almost, it has, because of what happened during COVID, and Dr. Kelly and Steve, both of us, all three of us, watched all of that, throughout. Steve, you and I very, early on, and Dr. Kelly for about the last year or so. And the reality is, I'm afraid that we went down a really, really slippery slope when it came to COVID. We gave up all sorts of freedoms. I feel like even to this day, they're not wanting to give those things back, although we're starting to see even the Supreme Court, crack down on, different laws and things that frankly are just unconstitutional. So it'll be interesting to see what we see moving forward. But Dr. Kelly, to your point a moment ago, and Steve, what Steve said as well, WHO, CDC doesn't make any difference. These guys are drunk on power, and they're not going to let go. They're not going to give up.
No, and I think the closer we get to the midterms, the more you're going to see this escalate, because just as they did 2 years ago, it was critical to have people in this state of abject fear in order to drive the narrative that it was necessary to have mail-in ballots. Truly, if you continue to make people think that there's something that they can contract, some deadly disease. People are saying, oh, I'm not going to go to the balance, or I shouldn't go to the balance because, you know, I might catch monkeypox. You know, well, unless you plan on having sex with the person next to you in line, it's not likely. So, but that's truly, people have, you know, taken leave of their senses here. We've been 2+ years now into this. Common sense has been AWOL for the duration of the pandemic, and that's really where we are. But the issue of power, absolutely. Let's recall, by the way, you know, the CDC, for example, is not a, you know, a regulatory body. They're an advisory body. They have no regulatory authority whatsoever, and yet we are taking, you know, guidelines that the CDC makes and acting as if they are, you know, complete. You know, it's absolutely insane. And again, you're not going to get certain governors, certainly in the great state of California, where I spend an awful lot of my time. You know, Gavin Newsom is not going to give up his emergency powers.
Good point.
And the emergency has been over for a good long time now.
Right. Steve, your thoughts on that. And by the way, everything Dr. Kelly just said, you know, spot on. You and I know that as well. I don't see these guys giving that up. The CDC is not a, you know, it's really weird. They're not a regulatory agency, although you would think they were, Steve. In fact, I think the average person on the street, you know, probably has no idea that they're not.
Yeah, they don't know. I mean, people don't know how government works in general. I mean, it's complicated for sure. And of course, the federal government has overstepped the 18 enumerated powers so many times in so many ways. It's pretty confusing at this point. But, you know, there's a lot of bad news in the economy. There's a lot of bad news for Biden and Harris and the Democrat Party. And I think that politicians talk about, we heard it this week, several of them said we should only be talking about the stuff that can help us win. It doesn't mean that they should be talking about gas prices and other issues that Americans really have, because they can't win on that. So they'll only talk about things that they can win on. And
that's a good point.
They want to go back to the compassionate Democrats, and part of that is making sure there's something to be afraid of.
One thing I don't want to miss, though, today especially, I'm going to get this right out, Dr. Kelly, because folks out there can help us in this regard. You sent out an email to Steve and myself and some others here this morning, talking about how, you know, physicians are being, you know, targeted. We've talked about that many times on our program, but it continues. It hasn't stopped. They're being censored, threatened. There are ways to help. Can you talk for just a moment about, and we're going to put this petition up, by the way, on, or not a petition, but it's a letter you can send to your local congressman, you know, your senators and so on. Dr. Kelly, talk about that. We'll put that up on the website later tonight, but talk about what it is and how folks can get involved.
Yes, this is a big deal. The censorship that's been going on with physicians has really been, it didn't just start with COVID, but it certainly has gone to a fevered pitch with COVID. There's no doubt. This has been we've seen certain individuals, myself included, who from the beginning have been labeled as conspiracy theorists, who are somehow, have been labeled as tinfoil hat wearers, QAnon members, all of these things that are absolutely not true. And this is simply a bunch of ad hominem attacks that occur when you dare to even question the science. Let's face it, medicine has long been predicated on vigorous, robust debate. We rarely make the best decisions when we only listen to one voice. Mm-hmm. It's the nature of the scientific process. If we had today's, you know, world of Twitter and YouTube and Facebook, we would still think that the world was flat, because they would have shut down anybody who suggested otherwise.
Dr. Kelly, we'd still be bloodletting today if that were the case.
Absolutely. And let's face it, the CDC has been wrong more than they have been right for the duration of this pandemic.
Great point.
So the reality is that they are targeting many, many physicians. They're threatening people with censorship, with loss of licensure, with disciplinary action. Right now, Peter McCullough, who many people know and listen to and have for the duration of the pandemic, is being threatened of being stripped with his board, his board licensure, certification by the American Board of Internal Medicine. American Board of Internal Medicine has refused to allow open debate on this. They've refused to allow other people to even speak on Dr. McCullough's behalf. So there is a letter, and hopefully you can post that. The way to sign.
Yes,
this thing,
yes, we will. We will,
so
for
that,
sure.
So that you're really going to Congress and saying this cannot be allowed to happen. furthermore, I sent both of you a link to a document that I found that it comes from Stanford, but it was a collaborative piece of work done by a number of different universities, including NYU. And this 230-page document is the work product of a large project that tells people essentially it is a playbook for how to deal with, quote unquote, people like myself or Harvey Reich or Peter McCullough or the dozens of other brave physicians who dared to speak out about this, and how to deal with them. And it includes everything from how to threaten their medical license, how to destroy their career, how to deplatform them, how to work with government to make sure, essentially to harass people. And it's not just physicians. They cover all of the, quote, known actors. This is how they refer to us in this document.
Wow.
We are known actors. This thing says Stanford University on it. It might as well say the Chinese Communist Party or People's Republic of China or Cuba or the USSR or any other repressive country where people are not allowed access to free speech.
Steve, and we talked last week, and the only way we can continue to hold these folks accountable is do what we do each and every week, which, again, we only spend an hour doing it. We need, much, much more help than this. That's why this document is important to get signed and sent off to your representatives and senators and so on. But Steve, Dr. Kelly's right. I mean, the sorts of things that are going on right now, again, you and I have talked about this many times, but if you'd have told me this even 2.5 years ago that this stuff was going to be happening in the United States of America, I'd have called you a liar.
I mean, no question. I mean, look, they couldn't get their disinformation counsel with the crazy lady that they appointed initially, so now they have a whole different thing with Kamala Harris. They are not going to stop until they decide who is speaking the truth and who is not from their point of view, and everybody else is going to be shut down. It is horrible. It is not American. It's not freedom, and it's going to cause major problems in our country.
Yep.
There's just no way around
it. I agree. All right, great stopping point.
Great doctors.
No, this is great. Guys, hang tight. We're going to come right back. Any questions, by the way, for Steve or Dr. Kelly Victory, send us a text message, 307-200-8222. Time always runs fast in this particular hour, so if you have a question, please get it to me. We'll get it answered quickly, 307-200-8222. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air is up next, folks. They want to help you with all of your heating and electrical needs. Don't forget to ask about the Quiet Cool system right now, $300 off, and it will save you money. 720-526-0231.
Experience the comfort level of a cool breeze with a Quiet Cool install from Absolute Electrical Heating and Air. Your Quiet Cool system evens temperatures throughout the house, so you don't need to run the AC all day. Colorado's temperate climate is the ideal environment for this technology because it stays cool in the evening and morning and gets hotter during the day. Your Quiet Cool system pulls the hot air out through the ventilation in your attic and gives you a lower baseline temperature to work with. It's a process called thermal mass cooling. The cool air you feel isn't recirculated. It's fresh, straight from outside. Get a Quiet Cool system installed by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air to take your comfort level to the next level with a cool breeze. Mention this ad when you schedule and receive a $300 rebate. Call Absolute at 720-526-0231 and schedule your Quiet Cool install.
For quality and service beyond compare, Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers. Call him, especially if you're self-employed. He's got many ways to help you. 720-895-0500.
With rates on the rise, how do you get the best rate? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500. Did you know that when you get cash out, or your FICO score is below a 740, or you're financing a condo versus a single-family home, it will cost you more in rate and fees? Many lenders are charging more. Stop paying it. At Affordable Interest Mortgage, we have lenders that don't charge. Trying to purchase a second home, or is your loan amount considered a high balance or jumbo? There they go again, charging you more. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Let us show you a loan that doesn't charge more. Seeing a low rate but not reading the small print, only to realize all the extra costs and fees? Again, stop. Call 720-895-0500. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Quit paying fees and closing costs that are unnecessary. Get a low rate without all the extra cost. Let us show you how to save thousands. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500. Serving Coloradans for over 20 years. NMLS 298-191. Regulated by DORA.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Again, Dr. Kelly Victory with us, Steve House as well. All right, I want to move on to, because I promoted it this way and really wanted to make sure we touched on this, with the approval this past week. We've been talking about it for several weeks, but the approval finally came down this week where the CDC and others are now recommending, because of the approval of the, you know, child, you know, end of it, you know, the vaccines for kids, I guess I should say. Dr. Kelly, I'll start with you. We saw that come out this past week, and yet we already know a lot of the side effects that have come up, have come out of the, you know, mRNA vaccine. Dr. Malone even came out this week talking very, very strongly against kids getting vaccines. We've talked about many times the fact that, frankly, they just don't need them in the first place, given what's even happened all the way through even the alpha end of COVID. Now that we're into Omicron, to me, Dr. Kelly, it's criminal that we're pushing this on kids.
It absolutely is, and we have known from the very beginning. This is probably one of the most disconcerting decisions that's been made during this pandemic, and that says a lot because
Agree.
It's been a debacle from the start. We've known from the very beginning that children, and by that I mean truly people under the age of 18 or 20, who don't have underlying serious health conditions, have a risk from COVID that is so low, so de minimis as to really be indistinguishable from zero. Okay? So they simply do not become ill with, it's not that they can't catch COVID, but they do not become significantly ill, they don't get hospitalized, and they don't die from it. Furthermore, conservatively, we know that at this point in the game, as you know, June of 2022, somewhere upwards of 75 to 80% of all children have already had and recovered from mm-hmm. COVID. So they have at least some element of natural immunity. Then add to that the fact that the vaccines do not stop you from contracting COVID, nor do they stop you from spreading it. The vaccine manufacturers themselves don't dispute that. And then you add in the fact that we have simply a paucity of safety data on these vaccines. They haven't been around long enough to have any idea what the long-term impact will be on things like fertility, neurologic development, autoimmune diseases, and on and on. This doesn't make me anti-vaccine. I'm very pro-vaccine, mm-hmm. but I'm also pro-data, pro-safety, and pro-science. And when you do that critical risk-benefit analysis with children and COVID, and you weigh the risks that they have from COVID against the possible risks and benefits of the vaccine, that calculation is going to fail every time.
Yep.
It is inexplicable for the FDA to have come to this decision.
Steve, you and I have talked about this even before you brought Dr. Kelly into the conversation roughly a year ago. From the very beginning, we were talking about COVID and kids and masks and shutting schools down and so on, which, by the way, to, you know, Dr. Kelly's point, was all just one big, huge, you know, mistake as a debacle. It was wrong. And now we're going to push it even further by shoving something into these kids that, frankly, they don't need. And we have no idea. Well, we know a little bit, by the way. We don't know the full extent of the consequences, but there will be consequences for doing this.
Well, I mean, certainly side effects, right? I mean,
right.
You know, you've seen the numbers on athletes, right? I mean, they used to have somewhere around 25, 30 athletes a year
yep.
Die of sudden death. You know, now it was 760-some in the last year, going down to the kids 5 and 17 years of age, which still blows my mind, is that there are countries around the world, the Danish were, in Denmark were the latest, who said, you should not vaccinate kids between 5 and 17 because of two things. One is potential side effects, and two is it doesn't really make them any safer. It has no impact on their safety. It doesn't really work on them, right? So don't vaccinate them unless they have really extenuating circumstances. Why do we hear this from so many countries around the world, and yet the United States of America is ignoring
yep.
the evidence that's coming worldwide and still doing it, still pushing it for some reason? I do not get it. I don't get it. I don't know that there's a good explanation other than you can say, well, they're being stupid, they're obstinate, they're pushing pharma's, you know, market profitability up, whatever it is, John. I don't know why the rest of the world has figured this out and we don't.
Well, and again, you guys know me, and by no means anybody know, you know, like Dr. Kelly talks about, you know, she's not anti-vaccine. You know, I am not either. I'm not anti-medical. I'm not anti-anything. In fact, anybody that's listened to this program for any length of time at all would know all of those interviews I've done, even some of the the questioning of some of these things that I've done over the last, you know, 8+ here. But to your point, Steve, this to me is just unacceptable. They've hidden data that you and I talked about, you know, 1+ ago on what were even being affected by COVID in the first place. And the only thing I can say, and Dr. Kelly, I want to get your comment on this, because again, I don't, you know, I always hate to say that I think there's more going on behind the scenes than there is, but to me, this isn't just a money thing at all. There's more nefarious things going on here, and I'm one, and I'll just come out and say it. I think this goes beyond money. I believe it's population control. I think there's going to be a lot of things that come with these kids that get sterilized on down the road. We're already seeing sperm counts in men drop way, way, way down. We have no idea what's going to happen down the road, but I'm here to tell you, I think others do, and I think that's why they're pushing it. That's my own opinion.
Yeah, well, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The difference between a conspiracy theory and fact is somewhere between 3 and 6 months. Mm. Because each thing that I've been called a conspiracy theorist about has proven to be true, every single thing,
yep.
And I've been deplatformed for it, but that's the fact. With regard to these vaccines and kids, you have to ask yourself, what is their goal? We know that the vaccines don't stop you from contracting COVID. We know they don't stop you from spreading COVID. So if the goal is, quote, to prevent severe illness, well, here's the newsflash, people. Kids don't get severe illness from COVID
right.
in the first place.
Right.
So what?
Dr. Kelly, we'd be better off, and Steve, I'll let you comment in a moment as well, but Dr. Kelly, we'd be better off to, you know, focus on, you know, sugar, diabetes, you know, childhood obesity, so many other things that affect kids versus COVID. If we spent the amount of time on all of that we're spending on this, we'd be in a lot better shape as a country.
For the love of God, if you want to stop childhood death, build fences around swimming pools.
Yeah,
there's
good
a
point.
You would have to vaccinate 2 million children for COVID to prevent a single hospitalization from COVID. Okay? 2 million kids are going to get jabbed in the arm to prevent a single hospitalization. That's not medicine.
I agree.
Now, you know, to Steve's point with regard to people dropping dead, all these athletes, you know, they've got this new diagnosis now, new cause of death diagnosis that I just love called SADS. And they're acting as if this has been around forever. SADS, S-A-D-S, sudden adult death syndrome.
Oh, my word.
Are you kidding me? Well, I guess dropped dead unexpectedly from complications caused by a deadly mRNA vaccine wasn't catchy enough, so they went with SAD. But this is preposterous. We have got to be asking questions, and instead their response is to shut anybody who dares
yep.
to ask questions
yep.
up and
yep.
to try to deplatform us and censor us.
And Steve, along those same lines, again, you know, things you and I have been talking about and the fact that they have really squashed a lot of the data, and it seems like, and guys, maybe it's just me, but it seems like every single day I read about a athlete or a movie star or somebody that is dying at a very, very early age. And again, I don't know all the details. In fact, I'm not sure we ever will know the details, Steve, but it sure makes you wonder. We're seeing a lot more young people in the news dying now than we did 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, first of all, let me give credit to the brilliance of Kelly Victory, dropped dead from a side effect mRNA vaccine because it's not useful enough. I love that. That was a great, unfortunate, such bad news. Dr. Andrew Bostrom, Brown University, tweeted out the Israeli study on sperm count reduction, just put it up on Twitter, and he got knocked off Twitter.
Hmm.
Obviously, the change in Twitter's management of, you know, social media truth has not changed yet, you know, with Elon Musk hasn't really taken over the company yet. But think about what this was, right? There was an Israeli study. There was a New England Journal of Medicine study about people vaccinated getting a higher incidence of getting COVID than non-vaccinated. Why do you take those off Twitter? What are they trying to do here?
Yep.
I mean, they're suppressing information published by reputable people, many of them heavy duty from France, researchers who discovered HIV, they get taken down. I mean, it's just amazing. Kelly's letter earlier today is not only necessary.
Yep.
If we lose this battle over the ability to post research data that shows that we should be concerned about something, we will never believe anybody from the government
That's
at
right.
that point.
That's right. That's right. Kelly, really quick.
Remember,
no, go ahead.
That,
go ahead.
Well, the thing that got me banned permanently from Twitter, you may recall, was posting the sworn testimony of those three military physicians
yep.
who were reporting on significant increases in the incidence of certain medical conditions in the year 2021. I posted a link to sworn testimony, and that was deemed, quote, misinformation, and I was kicked off Twitter for posting it. When you are kicking people off for posting things of that sort or posting scientific studies, you've got to start asking yourself, what are they trying to hide? And with regard to that letter, by the way, I know you're going to post this, John, but the website for people to go to is takeactionforfreedom.com. Takeactionforfreedom.com, and yep, there's a link there to this letter I'm talking about. It takes 2 minutes to sign it, and it's
or
really
less,
important.
Or less. And again, we'll have that link up on our website later tonight, but, you know, 2 minutes or less. Questions that have come in. A couple of good questions really quick, Dr. Kelly. Can you expand on the liver problems in children who've been vaccinated?
Well, what we are seeing is an increase in the incidence of hepatitis, specifically in kids and quite a few in adolescents who have been vaccinated. Now, again, I have said several times and again bears repeating, hepatitis we are seeing is inflammation of the liver. It can be caused by infection, or it can be caused by many, many other things, including autoimmune diseases. We are seeing a huge increase in what I call the itises, not just hepatitis, but myocarditis, pericarditis, neuritis, nephritis, inflammation of different organ systems. So normally, hepatitis is extraordinarily rare in children. It can be caused by certain viruses, but it is extraordinarily rare. We are seeing this uptick in cases of hepatitis, and although no one has been able to prove yet that it's related to the vaccines, we are obligated to look and say, what is causing this sudden increase in all of these itises? Why are we seeing a tenfold increase in Bell's palsy? Why are we seeing this significant increase in myocarditis and pericarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle and the sac around the heart? There's absolutely no question, clearly, when you look at the data, that it's got to be related to something, and this is happening in people who are vaccinated, not in people who had COVID.
Right. All right, one other one, and this one, Steve, you will also enjoy, and this is my question, by the way, Dr. Kelly and Steve. So this is coming from John. I spoke with a friend of mine today whose father is a doctor who has seen patients who were diagnosed prior, like my father, for example. They had cancer. They beat cancer. They were in remission. They were basically marked as cancer-free. They have now either contracted cancer again, their cancer has come back, and or they have died. In this particular case, he's had four patients that have died of cancer after being cancer-free, but of course had the vaccine in between that and now. Dr. Kelly, your thoughts?
I'm sorry, I thought it was Steve. Yes, and I talked about this quite a bit. One of the real concerns with these vaccines is they clearly have an immunosuppressive component. We know that people who are vaccinated have a significantly higher risk of contracting COVID than people who are not vaccinated at all. We've seen a suppression of T cells following vaccination. The reason that's concerning is because your immune system isn't simply responsible for fighting off infection. It doesn't simply fight off viruses, parasites, bacteria, and things of that sort. It also plays a critical role in fighting off cancer. Your immune system is your first line of defense against cancer. Mm-hmm. Your immune system should recognize a cancerous cell and wipe it out before it ever takes hold and even causes a cancer to develop or a tumor to grow. So what we predicted and are seeing, in fact, is that many people who had been in remission from an existing cancer or had been considered a cure, now that their immune system is suppressed as a result of having had the vaccine, those cancer cell or neoplastic cell has the ability to take hold and to just go rampant.
Yep.
And we are seeing an awful lot of people who had been in remission tragically have recurrence and sometimes with deadly outcomes of a pre-existing cancer.
And Steve, these are the things, again, this is some of the data that, again, you've seen some of this firsthand. This is some of the data that I feel like they're repressing. They're not allowing it out. They're not telling anybody. They're never going to tell you that somebody that was in remission that had cancer now has it and died from it, or, you know, and has died from cancer after having the vaccine. These are numbers that the public are never going to see.
Yeah, they are. And there's other indicators that, you know, I mean, the bad stories are really bad. And, you know, there's certainly them out there. But there's even simple stuff like we're now seeing the reoccurrence of the chickenpox virus in people. This was another published study saying that, you know, it's dormant in your system. People who get vaccinated, their immune systems are not as functional as they were. It's not suppressing it. And then they come out and they get chickenpox again, or they get shingles again. Those are little things that are telling us there's something really wrong inside the body of people who have been vaccinated. And I think we keep ignoring it and fighting it. You know, you have that on one hand, then you have the other hand where if you saw the Fauci-Rand Paul discussion again, you know, Rand Paul's saying, you know, where's the evidence that children are protected? Well, you know, it comes from an Israeli study. Well, the Israeli study was all adults. There were no children. They're just making suppositions that it'll be better for children from 5 to 17, and there's no, and down to 6 months, there's no actual evidence of this. Even Fauci can't quote the data in his own testimony in front of the Senate. I don't know why any parent would ever vaccinate their child unless they had some risk situation that they and their doctor agreed to. But just in general, vaccinating children 1, 2, 3, 4 times, that's insane.
I agree.
The risk you're putting your kids under is crazy.
Yep, I agree. Dr. Kelly, another question came in. I have a question for Kelly. I've had diabetes and high blood pressure. I'm 56 years old. Should I have taken the COVID vaccine? And this person texted me back and said they did get it. Should they have? And now that they have, what do they do?
Well, obviously, people need to make their own independent decision. I said from the beginning, there is a well-known set of comorbidities that does put people at higher risk for a bad outcome from COVID, and that includes, first and foremost, obesity, but followed very closely by heart disease and diabetes. So if somebody's in their 50s or 60s or older and has these underlying conditions, it certainly was a reasonable thing to consider doing. And since you've done it, there's no way to unvaccinate yourself. I don't think there's any reason to live in fear either. Many people, millions and millions of people are in fact vaccinated. And I don't think that there's much to be gained by living in fear if you've done so. I think you need to do everything within your power to maintain the health of your underlying immune system, since we know that these vaccines have an immunosuppressive effect, and you can be at higher risk for infection as well as for things like cancers. So I think doing the basic things we should always be doing to protect your immune system health, thing which includes the very most basic, you know, good diet, regular exercise, adequate sleep, stress mitigation, those sorts of things. And then supplementing those things that hopefully people have learned a bit about during this pandemic, which includes vitamin D and zinc and quercetin and those sorts of things.
Okay. Good stopping point. Guys, hang tight. We'll come right back. Dr. Kelly Victory with us. Steve House as well. Any questions for them, keep texting us. I'll get those questions answered here in a few minutes. 307-200-8222. High Five Plumbing is next. And I was notified today that they actually have a recruiting event going on, open house going on tonight between 5 and 7. So about an hour and a half from now, it'll be at their Denver location on 73rd Avenue. Call 877-WE-HIGH-5, or you can also find them by going to klzradio.com.
You should see the bulletin boards covered in photos lining the walls at High Five Plumbing. Every picture shows a happy customer giving their technician a high five. More than just a gimmick, High Five technicians ask every customer to take a photo at the end of a job, giving each other a high five to signify work well done. Their mission to create a positive impact on their clients, team, and community recently won High Five Plumbing the Small Business of the Year Award from the Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce. The High Five team gives plumbing a new name by focusing on what matters to you: prompt professional service that improves the health of your home. Right now, get to the bottom of that funny taste or smell you've been noticing with a free in-home water test for KLZ listeners only, plus $300 off a full water treatment system. Call High Five Plumbing at 877-WE-HIGH-5. That's 877-934-4445, where every call ends in a high five.
All right, we've got Excuse me. I'm going to swallow there. Jeez. Golden Eagle Financial's up next. Al Smith, he wants to help you with all of your financial planning. It's easy. Just give him a phone call today. Al would love to chat with you. 303-744-1128 or find him at klzradio.com.
Find your financial purpose with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. You want a retirement plan that alleviates your fears about the future, so you know your money will last. Al Smith will help you find a balance between the risk and reward of the market and the safety of your retirement income. However, before you decide how much money you want to place under management, liquid and available to you at any time, and how much you want to protect in your retirement income, you need to have a conversation about how you plan to spend that money. Al Smith believes your financial plan should enhance your retirement. After 30 plus years in the industry, he's seen a lot of happy people retire, and some unhappy ones too. In his experience, the amount of money doesn't make the difference. The happiest people establish a purpose for their money that brings them and others joy. Visit klzradio.com/money to find your financial purpose. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC registered advisor.
All right, we are back again. Dr. Kelly Victory with us today. Steve House also. If you miss anything, by the way, where maybe you step out for a moment or you got to take a phone call or whatever the case may be, you can listen to this this hour in its entirety again tonight between 6 and 7 p.m. You can also go back and listen to any of our past shows via our recordings podcast. They're all on our website, rushtoreason.com, or you can go to soundcloud.com/rushtoreason, however you want to do it. They're all there. It's the same. Real quick, Dr. Kelly, the question that I asked you a moment ago about the individual with, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, and so on. Some information just came in on that. He actually added to that, got the J&J vaccination, but has had two leg infections since then. Is that anything to do with the vaccine, or is it just coincidence? And then, how do you help stave off some of those infections, maybe since having the vaccine?
Well, obviously, there's no way for me to say with any certainty. Certainly, I haven't examined this individual,
right,
and
right.
That person also has other risk factors for infection, which includes diabetes. I have no idea how well controlled the diabetes is, but that certainly is a risk factor for infection, particularly in the lower extremities. And again, the only way you can stave these things off is to do everything within your power to enhance the functioning of your own immune system by staying healthy overall.
Mm-hmm.
and doing the things that we all should be doing. You know, it's fascinating to me that for the duration of this pandemic, all of these public health officials who are out there yammering away
yep.
every day about how we should, you know, bathe in Purell and stay 6 feet apart and wear a mask, which is just total insanity. You didn't hear a one of them talking about the things we know that actually will help you to avoid infection, not only from COVID, but other things like supplementing vitamin D,
mm-hmm.
given the, you know, how common vitamin D deficiency is, taking supplemental zinc, vitamin C, quercetin, adequate sleep, good nutrition, regular exercise, stress management, all of those things. You didn't hear that come out of Fauci's mouth one time.
Nope.
It was just all, you know, vaccine, and stay in the basement until you do.
Which, again, and Steve, this goes to you. This is, again, one of my fears and why I said what I said earlier, where I just think there's more going on with all of this than meets the eye. Because really, you know, what was best for the health of the public would have been to do the things that Dr. Kelly just said, have a huge, you know, PSA campaign, run ads, run, you know, TV, do whatever's necessary, billboards, you name it. We could have trained people to have been a lot more healthy through all of this versus, you know, masking up, getting vaccines, doing the things that we did. I mean, I feel like, how do I want to say this, Steve? I feel like that what we did was, instead of teaching a drug addict how to get off of heroin, instead we just set up, you know, shot stations, needle stations everywhere in the country where they could just come and get more heroin. Rather than tell them how to handle the problem they had and to be more healthy with it, we just force-fed something else that didn't help them any way, shape, or form. In fact, kept them more addicted. I feel like that's what we did with COVID.
We did, and there were some common things. I mean, anybody who was concerned about COVID should have been given vitamin D. They should have been given, quite frankly, they should have been given ivermectin. The most recent data on that
right.
shows how they screwed over ivermectin as a solution purposely. Francis Collins and the team did it on purpose. We know exactly what they did and how they did it wrong. It's that kind of mindset. I mean, we have that, by the way, that practical example you gave about heroin and giving people needles. We do that every day in the major cities in America now.
I know.
We're not actually trying to make people better. We're just trying to pacify them so they'll shut up and stop complaining and stop being a problem for the people in authority. It's not, there's no strategy out here to make people healthier. That's definitely not happening, not in our healthcare system and not in the way they're handling COVID.
Yet a year ago, and there's been testimony on this, I've got video recording, I won't play it now to waste any of our time, but last year we were told that the COVID shot, you know, the vaccine would protect us from getting COVID, spreading COVID, it's how we can open the economy back up, blah, 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 blah. None of that was true, and now Pfizer's CEO is basically saying, you're going to need a shot every year for the rest of your life. I mean, Dr. Kelly, have we been played or what?
Hey, absolutely. You were told they were 96, 97% effective initially. Then that efficacy drops to below 50% within a matter of months, yet they didn't give up their emergency use authorization, which requires, by the way, for the vaccines to be more than 50% effective. Instead, they just moved the goalposts. They said, well, it doesn't stop you from getting the infection, but it will stop severe, you know, it will stop you from spreading it. Well, that wasn't true either. Then they said, well, it will stop severe infection. It'll do that if you actually get a third or fourth booster. These childhood vaccines, by the way, the ones that just got recommended for 6-month-olds, that's a 3-shot series. You have to get that baby has to get 3 shots. They cannot be given alongside of any of the other childhood vaccines. So these parents are expected to make 3 additional doctor's appointments to get the kids 3 vaccines. And guess how long they last? The efficacy lasts 3 months.
Wow.
Wow. So you do the math on this.
Yep. Yep. No, again, yeah, Steve.
How many times? I mean, this is insane.
I agree.
12 shots a year.
I mean, Steve, we've just been, I mean, ultimately, you know, you talk about being played. And again, I don't see an end to this. I really, honestly, guys, I really felt like by now the three of us could be moving on to things regarding, you know, health and politics and the midterms and all these different things. We're still, you know, this week alone, we're now talking about injecting children that don't need it in the first place. Steve and I talked about this almost from day one when COVID even came on the scene. We're now talking about injecting kids that just don't need it. I never thought I'd see our country get to this point, guys. I just didn't. Steve, your thoughts first.
Well, and it's not just that they don't need it. It's that it's been proven worldwide that they don't need it.
Yeah, good point.
Other countries, the WHO in some cases, are against this idea. Why is Anthony Fauci allowed and the CDC, why are they allowed to push this on people unknowing, who don't watch the news, who don't read a lot of the research papers, who don't listen to your radio show? Why are they allowed to push this on people and their kids when we know it causes major side effects?
I don't know. And real quick, Dr. Kelly, add to everything that Steve just said. Plus, we still have X amount of people running around and even have different cities across the country where, you know, mask mandates continue to roll back through. Some people just have not let go of those things. You know, if their life depended upon it, they are not going to give that mask up. And I just don't understand why.
Well, let me tell you, Biden came out the other day and said, announced as if this was some great accomplishment. He said, the United States is the only country in the world that's vaccinating young children. Ding, 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 ding. Come
yeah,
on.
Why?
Connect the dots.
Yeah.
Right. Why are we the only country? Because everyone else is an idiot? No, I think it's because we have an agenda to push and the other countries don't. With regard to people clinging to these, you know, I fly constantly.
I just was
in Denver Airport yesterday, and it's really disconcerting to me to see these, particularly families with young kids, toddlers walking around with masks on. You think these poor kids have been led to believe that they should be fearful of others, that somehow these masks are doing something meaningful, that they should worry about contracting. You know, honestly, teach your kids some good hygiene, teach them to wash their hands and keep their hands out of their faces. Those are the sorts of things kids need to learn. They need to learn about the importance of good nutrition and regular exercise and those sorts of things. Not the idea that, you know, slapping some piece of cloth over your nose and mouth is somehow going to prevent you from contracting a respiratory illness. The studies, you know, we have hundreds of studies, hundreds of published peer-reviewed studies posted, and if you want to see them, they're on, you know, the website that I'm associated with, earlycovidcare.org. hundreds of them debunking the idea that masks do anything appreciable to stop the spread of respiratory viruses. It's not why I, as a surgeon, wear one. It never was.
Nope.
It is not to stop the spread of respiratory viruses.
Now, and again, Steve, you and I were talking about this early on. I gave the examples of, you know, being, you know, where I've grown up and have been in the automotive industry my entire life. At one point, worked in, you know, the collision center that we had, and, you know, I can give you stories about wearing basically, you know, what was as close to a respirator back then as you could find. I mean, double charcoal canisters on your face, tight fit. I mean, you talk about being masked up far, far better than anybody would be masked up today, Steve. And yet when I would come out of the paint booth after painting a car, everything, the hairs inside of your nose would be whatever the color paint was you were spraying, which proved that, you know, and those are much, much, much bigger particles than anything that had to do with COVID. To me, just common sense said, wait a minute, time out. If I can't keep all of the paint in that particular arena inside of my lungs, my respiratory side of things and so on, how in the world am I going to keep microscopic droplets out of it? I mean, to me, common sense said this was just lunacy, and it is.
It absolutely is lunacy. It's gone to another level now. I don't know if you guys saw the story from Emory University where they dismissed a pregnant woman from care because she asked the question of why she needed to wear a mask while having the baby or during, you know, pregnancy visits, because it was no longer required in most situations, airports and the public environments. I mean, theoretically, doctor's offices and hospitals are cleaner.
Right.
You know, the air is, you know, pressurized in the hospital. They literally dismissed her from being a patient in the hospital she'd gone to her entire pregnancy just because she asked about why she had to wear a mask.
Unbelievable.
I don't think this is the last time we're going to see this. It's crazy.
No, and Dr. Kelly, again, you are in that world more than even Steve and I are. Is any of that, you know, dentist office, doctor's office, and so on, is any of that stuff going to go away, or is some of this just going to be here forever?
And boy, I really fear that it's going to stick around for a while. Obviously, you know, yes, I see many, many of my colleagues who still have the signs up. You're required to anytime you enter the hospital. So if your doctor's office is associated at a medical center, it's required. It is really, the problem is it is teaching people the wrong things. Unfortunately, God help us when we go as public health experts or officials to try to get the public to listen to us going forward, because we've lost all credibility. If masks worked to stop the spread of this respiratory virus, we'd never be where we are right now.
That's right.
So, Kelly, I have a question for Kelly. I'm a listener, too. My question is, it's kind of twofold. One is, we start to see new polio cases, and I don't know whether they're vaccine, COVID vaccine or related. They're from the live polio vaccine. We've seen shingles and chicken pox and all these things start to rise. Are we literally going to end up wearing masks because the COVID vaccines have hurt immune systems to the point where those diseases become transmissible again, and that's why we need to wear a mask?
Oh, great point.
Well, I think that that's a multifaceted question. We were seeing an uptick in polio cases already, well before the COVID pandemic, largely because of the vaccine hesitancy in certain areas, certain pockets of the country, say Northern California, Marin County, some places where folks, you know, are truly anti-vaccine and aren't getting their kids vaccinated for routine childhood illnesses like polio. We were already seeing an uptick. Add on top of that some immune suppression being caused as a result of these COVID vaccines, and I think it's a real recipe for disaster. The increase in shingles cases, reactivation of chickenpox virus, is absolutely a result of this this immune suppression that we're seeing in people who have been COVID vaccinated. And again, that's very concerning. Yep. So how do you get out of this? And frankly, does your immune system, you know, how long does it take to return to normal? These are questions that have been answered during the routine, rigorous testing of the vaccines. There's a reason why the average vaccine takes 6 to 8 years to come to market, if it ever makes it to market at all. These are the sorts of questions that would normally get figured out during that rigorous testing.
Guys, with that, I got to run. Dr. Kelly Victory, as always, I appreciate it very much. Steve, I'll give you like 10 seconds.
I think that people need to continue to be diligent, and I think every day we're going to see more and more information that should concern us, and that at the same time, the government's going to keep pushing vaccines. It's inevitable. We have to be aware.
Agreed. We'll talk next week again. Steve, as always, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Veteran Windows and Doors is next. Folks, save energy, save money next year, especially as you get into fall and winter. Call Dave, the owner of Veteran Windows and Doors. Have him out. He'll explain how his Provia windows will save you money in the end. 303-529-0720.
Veteran Windows and Doors proves that you can save people money while maintaining high standards. Owner Dave Bancroft believes product and service should stand alone. You shouldn't need to manipulate customers into spending more money. So when the company he worked for started hiring psychiatrists to train their sales staff, he left. Naming his own company after his military service, Veteran Windows and Doors, Dave chose to focus on quality rather than volume. He stands behind his product and service with a transferable lifetime warranty on all windows and doors, plus a 5-year guarantee on labor above and beyond the industry standard. Dave doesn't hire salespeople. Instead, he visits every customer personally to educate them on the product. Without the overhead of a giant sales team, Dave can offer the same high-quality windows and doors for a fraction of the price. No gimmicky pitches, no hiked-up prices, just quality windows and doors with service straight from Dave. Call Veteran Windows and Doors for a comparison quote now, 303-529-0720.
All right, Bruce Simmons is next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist. Call Bruce today if that's something you're interested in, and he'll give you all of the facts on it. 303-467-7821, or he, along with all of our other great partners, are at klzradio.com.
Bruce Simmons makes a potentially complicated loan program easy to understand. Reverse mortgages make a lot more sense when you see how the numbers apply to you. KLZ's Bruce Simmons explains the most confusing aspects of a reverse mortgage in simple language so that you not only understand the loan yourself, but you can also explain the basics to other interested parties. Most likely, you'll want to involve your financial planner and maybe some of your family members in the decision-making process. For every client, Bruce Simmons creates a personalized video that you can share with your kids, parents, financial advisor, or the skeptical neighbor who still thinks the bank will take your house. He'll show you how a reverse mortgage could enable you to tap into a portion of the value of your home. Find Bruce Simmons of American Liberty Mortgage now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
All right, Catherine and Robin, they are K&R Home Transitions. That's where the K&R comes from. Two realtors for the price of one. Give them a call today. Anything you need when it comes to real estate, they'll help you. Find them also at klzradio.com or dial 720-437-8210.
They always find a way. Buyers having trouble competing with cash offers, veterans with credit issues who need a new place immediately because their lease got canceled, sellers who don't have the time or resources to clean up the property for showings. Catherine and Robin of K&R Home Transitions will do whatever it takes to buy or sell your home. With the combined experience of two realtors for the price of one, you will find a creative solution for your unique situation. In their years of buying and selling properties, Catherine and Robin have developed a vast network of professionals in the real estate industry. They have knowledge and connections the average real estate agent has probably never heard of, like the Lease to Buy program, combined with a genuine heart for helping people no one else will help. Choose the real estate team that always finds a way. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/home. K&R Home Transitions, powered by Worth Clark Realty.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Susan at Premier Manufacturing says, "In the 2+ years I have been with Premier Manufacturing, my interaction with BES has been nothing but positive. When we have a service issue, they do their best to have someone sent out that same day, and the service people have always been friendly, efficient, and professional." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, folks, again, if you missed any of that last hour and or have other questions for Dr. Kelly, Victor, or Steve, text me those questions. I'll either get them answered directly or I'll table them until next week, depending upon how immediate they are. And if you missed any of that last hour, you can catch it tonight between 6 and 7 p.m. It's our fourth hour as we replay it. Or you can go to our website, rushtoreason.com, and find all of our past episodes, including this past hour there. And typically they'll be up by, 7:30 tonight. So if you missed anything, you can catch it that way. Otherwise, hour two is next. Don't go anywhere. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.